Munich Winter. Chapter 18 of the Second World War.
We must really not waste time after this long debate upon the difference between the positions reached at Berchtesgaden, at Godesberg, and at Munich. No one has been a more resolute and uncompromising struggler for peace than the Prime Minister. Everyone knows that. Never has there been such an intense and undaunted determination to maintain and secure peace. Nevertheless, I am not quite clear why there was so much danger of Great Britain or France being involved in a war with Germany at this juncture, if in fact they were ready all along to sacrifice Czechoslovakia. The terms which the Prime Minister brought back with him could easily have been agreed, I believe, through the ordinary diplomatic channels at any time during the summer. And I will say this, that I believe the Czechs, left to themselves, and told they were going to get no help from the Western powers, would have been able to make better terms than they have got after all this tremendous perturbation. They could hardly have had worse. All is over. Silent, mournful, abandoned, broken. Czechoslovakia recedes into the darkness. She has suffered in every respect by her association with France, under whose guidance and policy she has been actuated for so long. I find unendurable the sense of our country falling into the power, into the orbit and influence of Nazi Germany, and of our existence becoming dependent upon their goodwill or pressure. It is to prevent that, and that I have tried my best to urge the maintenance of every bulwark of defense. First, the timely creation of an air force superior to anything within striking distance of our shores. Secondly, the gathering together of the collective strength of many nations. And thirdly, the making of alliances and military conventions, all within the Covenant, in order to gather together forces, at any rate, to restrain the onward movement of this power. It has all been in vain. Every position has been successively undermined and abandoned on specious and plausible excuses. I do not grudge our loyal, brave people, who were ready to do their duty no matter what the cost, who never flinched under the strain of last week, the natural spontaneous outburst of joy and relief when they learned that the hard ordeal would no longer be required of them at the moment. But they should know the truth. They should know that there had been gross neglect and deficiency in our defenses. They should know that we have sustained a defeat without a war, the consequences of which will travel far with us along the road. They should know that we have passed an awful milestone in our history, when the whole equilibrium of Europe has been deranged, and that the terrible words have for the time being been pronounced against the Western democracies. Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting, and do not suppose that this is the end. This is only the beginning of the reckoning. This is only the first sip, the first foretaste of a bitter cup which will be proffered to us year by year. Lest by a supreme recovery of moral health and martial vigor, we rise again and take our stand for freedom as in the olden times.